The Information's 411 is brought to you by Brex, the company that's reimagining financial systems to power the next generation of business. Check them out at brex.com/the information. AI and machine learning. These terms still get thrown around with reckless abandon in the business world. But the truth is that while most companies can't match the prowess of giants like Google, Facebook, and Amazon, which have more data about consumers than any other companies in history, smaller companies, more than ever, have at least some resources at their disposal to, if not keep up with these Googles, to at least mimic some of what they do and make better use of their own data. Behind that mimicry are startups that develop software tools for data scientists, as well as startups that offer end-to-end machine learning solutions for companies that may not have data scientists. And those companies use off-the-shelf machine learning models to analyze corporate data and spit out the kind of predictions that help their customers make better decisions. Today, we'll be talking to Kevin McLaughlin, who worked with me to compile a list of 7 enterprise AI companies that we believe are among the most promising in their fields and that you may not have heard about yet. The rules are that they can't have raised more than $100 million in funding, unless maybe they're less than 3 years old, and they can't be worth more than $1 billion on paper. Then we'll talk to the CEO of the highest ranking company on our list, Hugging Face, whose progress with machine learning practitioners has surprised a lot of people over the past year. Welcome to a special 5-part series of the 411 podcast for the Information 50, our annual list of the most promising under-the-radar startups. My name is Amir Efradi. I'm the executive editor at The Information. Kevin, welcome.
Thank you.
You are our primary enterprise software reporter, so there's been no shortage of work to do during the pandemic in your world. We're going to talk about machine learning and how companies are using this field to improve their applications. You worked with me on this list last year and this year, the top kind of most promising enterprise AI startups within the parameters that we set. What do you think is different from last year's list versus this year's list?
Streamlit is a company on this year's list, and it's pretty interesting because it's very early. They just launched their first commercial product last week, in fact, or in early November, actually. And I think, you know, what's interesting about them and different maybe from some of the other companies last year is this is a company that's getting tons of buzz, is probably a little bit early in terms of the business, but just based on the amount of excitement and the way people were talking about this company, we decided to include them when I don't know that we had a similar company on last year's list.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what they do and why we included them?
Yeah, so Streamlit enables, it's for data scientists using the Python programming language. It enables them to quickly and easily build web applications based on the data that they're working with. They kind of compare themselves to a Tableau of data science and machine learning. And I think that very indicative of the popularity of Python, of course, and machine learning in general. And then just kind of more broadly, obviously, Tableau software, the company acquired by Salesforce a few years ago, has been a huge example or maybe a sign of how data and the use of data was sort of spreading throughout companies of all types. Because even if you're not a company with a lot of data science resources in-house, you do need to visualize your data. And I think that Streamlit does that same thing. And I think the broader potential is that you're talking about bringing data science visualization to a broader audience.
And visualization is necessary because of what reason? You aren't able to make decisions unless you can see it in a different way other than the numbers themselves.
Yeah, I think it just gets down to being able to put things into charts and graphs, and sometimes I think some people just grasp things more easily when they're presented visually rather than, you know, in raw data.
And perhaps a way for the data-oriented, you know, machine learning practitioners at a company to be able to express, you know, what they're seeing in a different way so that the non-technical people, the business people, can maybe make some decisions or resource allocation decisions around how to apply AI inside of their companies, which leads to another conversation that I wanted to have with you, which is about horizontal AI companies, AI startups, and vertically oriented AI startups. So a lot of the companies that we see either do one or the other. They typically don't do both. So either they're developing tools for data scientists within companies, or they're trying to say, don't worry about having data scientists on staff. We will take your data. We have our own data scientists. We will come up with a end-to-end solution and spit out that solution for you to help you reprice something that you're trying to sell or plan ahead for, you know, supply chain challenges that may be starting to creep into the data that you get from your suppliers and so on, and make predictions on how to make those kinds of decisions. So I think we've got four companies on this year's list that are really purely in the data science tools realm. So Hugging Face is one. I'll be interviewing the CEO in just a few minutes. That's one of them. OctoML is another, which is really helping software developers to deal with machine learning models across different types of hardware and processors. We've got Hypersonics, which is really trying to help retailers and saying to companies like Smart and Final and Marriott, give us your data. We will tell you what to do with that data to improve your revenue. Almost kind of doing a deal directly with the CIO of that company and not really letting it filter down to the data scientists who typically work on these things. The other one is Focal Systems that really is all about helping the brick and mortar retailers understand their stores better. And obviously it was a difficult time for brick and mortar retailers recently. The last one being AppSen. And I wanted you to talk about AppSen and Focal Systems in particular. Focal Systems is one of those that we looked at last year, but we did not include in our list until this year when it became clear that they were generating some revenue or had a lot of adoption among developers. Can you tell us a little bit about what you found out about Focal Systems as well as AppSen, which is a lot more focused on automating the work of finance teams?
Sure. Focal Systems sees itself as kind of going against the grain. And what I mean by that is Amazon has made a lot of headlines in the past couple of years with by trying to sort of package up the technology that it uses to operate its Amazon Go cashierless stores and make it available to other retailers as well. There were reports last year, for example, that Amazon had approached Walmart and Target and some other retailers about using its technology. But that is about sort of replacing, obviously, the cashier and other aspects of the in-store staff. Focal Systems is strictly focused on the store shelves, and their cameras and their software are basically designed so that the store managers can make sure that, you know, they don't get blindsided when things are running low and they know when to reorder things. And also, as a second sort of use case, the technology enables managers to make sure that people are kind of working at the pace that they're supposed to be working, which is another interesting and, you know, probably somewhat controversial use case in some circles. I think that their benefit to them has been their focus and not sort of focusing on like every single thing about the store. We're just going to do this. And I did speak with the company and they seem to be very satisfied with the way that that's going, as opposed to, you know, being too broad.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about AppSen?
So AppSen reminds me of a company that we had on the list last year called Ironclad, which is applying AI to sort of speed and ease the process of managing legal contracts. AppSen started out years ago. Well, it was one of the oldest companies on our list this year, AppSen was. And they started out with looking at this sort of software that can help manage expenses. And they sort of pivoted from there, and they decided that looking at finance broadly inside of companies, they saw a lot of inefficiency there in various different parts of the process. The first product that AppSen has launched is about expense reports. And so they too started small, just looking at this one specific challenge that companies have. So AppSen software actually automates the process of scanning through expense reports and making sure that everything is on the up and up, and using machine learning to ensure that people aren't taking liberties and that things are being reported the way they're supposed to be. And then from there, they moved on to automating the process of automating accounts payable functions. And they actually have bigger plans as well. They're going to get into accounts receivable. They have other like sort of plans that they wouldn't go into too much detail about. But the point is that they've just decided that let's just take this one problem or this one thing that every company struggles with at various levels, and let's apply AI to it. And I think it's interesting in that regard because, frankly, I had not heard much about AppSen before we started doing the research. And I came away, you know, pretty impressed with their approach.
Yeah, and it turns out they have plenty of revenue, which we get into in our feature. I just wanted to point out that it was exceedingly difficult to do this list and find companies that are worth less than $1 billion that have some traction, because seemingly you don't need very much revenue to get that kind of a valuation, do you?
No, and in the case of OctoML, like they almost like didn't make the list in their 2-year-old company, but they are getting so much attention now that their funding and their valuation was so high that, you know, we had to, they did make it based on our criteria, but I'm not sure that they, like if we did this in a few months, I don't think they would have.
Yeah, well, same with so a couple of other companies that we looked at, Weights and Biases and Snorkel AI, this summer, each were valued at more than $1 billion after raising money without, I think, having much revenue. And that was certainly a shock for a lot of folks out there in the, you know, machine learning community. Weights and Biases is another one of these platforms for data scientists to experiment with different machine learning models and talk to one another. And they really didn't have much revenue, but Insight Partners, which is one of these giant late stage venture investment firms, came in and gave them a you know, pretty significant term sheet at a very high valuation. Just seems like there's so much capital wanting in on anything resembling, you know, AI, whether it's a platform for data scientists or some sort of solution for a finance department. So I imagine most of the companies that we feature in this field are going to be taking off soon. Well, I just want to say thank you to Kevin for working on this list and for taking the time to talk to us a little bit about some of the companies. And next up, we'll be speaking to the CEO of Hugging Face, Clement DeLange. We'll see you in a minute after the break. Today's episode is brought to you by Brex, the company that's reimagining financial systems to power the next generation of business. Brex knows that leaders and finance teams have heard it all. Disrupt the industry, banish mediocrity, dominate e-commerce. Well, Brex also knows that to do any of that, you first need a superior corporate card, one with 10 to 20 times higher credit limits, no personal guarantee, and built-in spend controls and expense tracking. Apply online at brex.com/theinformation and you'll get up to 50,000 rewards points. That's brex.com/theinformation. Welcome, Clement.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get into Hugging Face and your personal story and your professional story, I wanted to just set the stage with you to be able to talk about artificial intelligence and where we are. So you're on the frontier of AI research, or at least seeing a lot of AI research.
Yeah.
As well as seeing the way AI is being applied in the real world, in all sorts of businesses. And, you know, we started talking 18 months ago or so, and my initial interest in speaking to you was around understanding, you know, the clear gap that exists between big technology giants like the Googles and Facebooks and Amazons of the world and everyone else when it comes to data science talent capabilities. Has the startup ecosystem that you're part of that's kind of built up, you know, AI tools and applications for everyone else. Is it starting to shrink that gap?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we've seen with Hugging Face. 3 years ago, there were zero company that were using us. And today there's 10,000 companies using us to build machine learning in a better way. And a lot of these companies that are using machine learning today are not a Google, a Facebook, a Microsoft. They are kind of like smaller companies now able to integrate this new technology into their products. I'm thinking, for example, of companies like Grammarly, right, that are using machine learning to do grammatical error detection. I'm thinking of companies like Typeform that are classifying the answers to a survey. I'm thinking about companies like Bloomberg, right? If you look at the Bloomberg terminal today, most of it is powered by machine learning. So I definitely think that in the past 2 years, we're seeing kind of like a democratization of machine learning, right? Going from only the Microsoft, the Google, Facebook being able to build these technologies to everyone else, right? So that's been super exciting to us.
So tell us about Hugging Face, which is, as I understand it, an emoji. But tell us about the company, tell us about the open source software and what you've been building to help some of these companies try to catch up.
Yeah, absolutely. So at Hugging Face, we believe that, you know, machine learning is the fundamental technology switch, technology shift of the decade, right? We think that in 5 years, every single company is going to use machine learning. And we've been lucky to be the most used machine learning platform out there, right? We've built a platform from open source to hosted services that accelerates the implementation of machine learning for companies, right? So the analogy is the same way traditional software has had GitHub or GitLab, which are these platforms that make teams building traditional software faster, quicker, more efficient. Machine learning teams have the Hugging Face platform to do so.
And how did this start? When did this begin? And tell us about the software at the core of the company.
The kind of like real journey for me in machine learning started almost 12 years ago. So before the technology was as popular as it is today. The time I was like the first non-engineer team member to a company that was doing machine learning for computer vision. The company went on to get acquired by Google a few years later. But I've always been kind of like obsessed and excited about machine learning. And the same goes for my co-founders, Julien and Thomas. And 5 years ago, we kind of like got together in the same room and we were like, you know, it's time to start a machine learning first company now. Big things are happening. And we're like, okay, what's the most challenging technical topic that we can tackle today? And we started with conversational AI, right? And especially what we call open domain conversational AI. So kind of like a Siri or Alexa, but who you could ask like anything you want, you know, not just productivity stuff, but really anything you want. And the interesting thing is that to do that, we had to be insanely science focused because it was still an unsolved challenge from the science point of view. And we also had to build the infrastructure to be able to talk about a lot of different topics, which translates into a lot of different data sets for machine learning. We had to be able to leverage a lot of different tasks like the ability to understand text, extract information from text, reply, so generate text. And as it sometimes happened for startups, it led us to build some sort of like an underlying platform, an underlying technology that became the backbone of what Hugging Face is today, right? We started by releasing pieces of it on GitHub as an open source project called Transformers. And progressively, as companies started to pick it up, users started to leverage it for more things than we initially envisioned. It became what it is today, which is like a platform where researchers, data scientists are sharing their models, right? So models that you might have heard of, like GPT, BERT, Roberta, T5. And then practitioners, like the 10,000 companies that I mentioned, are using these models, versioning them, testing them, improving them, training them, to be able to integrate that into their workflows and create machine learning features the same way they were building traditional software features in the past.
And when you began to develop these transformers, did that have anything to do with research that Google had published in the area of natural language understanding?
So when Google released a model called BERT, which arguably has been the most influential machine learning model of all time, they released it also on Hugging Face, which became the main way for companies to use this model, right? So if you think of BERT today, most of the companies using BERT are using BERT inside the Hugging Face platform, which made it kind of like a very big success. Again, here the analogy with a GitHub is very relevant, right? The same way companies are sharing open source on GitHub, right? Like a MongoDB, like an Elasticsearch, like a Apache Spark for Databricks, Apache Kafka for Confluent. We're starting to see the same thing happening with machine learning, meaning that companies are building great open source and open models that they're sharing on the Hugging Face platform for everyone to use. The underlying thinking is that by building a platform and some sort of a, kind of like an open technology, you create 100x more value than you would if it wasn't open. And then once you've done that, you don't have to capture 100% of this additional value that you created, right? You can capture just 1% of this value in terms of revenue making for your company. And you create like a massively successful company thanks to that.
You created these transformers. A lot of companies began to use them. And as became clear, transformers began to be applied to many other types of problems outside of natural language understanding and into areas like computer vision. So it's just become an important utility in the field, and now you host these models for people and charge for that. It really seems like we're in this unprecedented time where a company like yours that's generated $5 million in revenue in a year after starting to monetize could just get, you could get $100 million tomorrow if you called up Tiger or Coatue or anyone else. Why haven't you taken more money? And what's your plan for scaling up the company?
We're very intentional about, you know, our cap table and how we built this company. We raised a $40 million Series B at a $440 million valuation just 6 months ago, right? Which isn't a long time ago in the grand scheme of things. My approach as a founder and as a CEO is to be intentional about when I raise money, and not just raise money when I can, but when I need to. We still haven't spent any of the Series B that we raised, right? We have more money in the bank than we raised at the previous round. So, you know, money is not our main limitation right now. So raising more money wouldn't solve much of our problems. So there's no rush for us. For us, you know, it's important to be able to build a very kind of like long-term company, right? Independently of, you know, the short-term hype. And so, yeah, we want to be intentional about that. You know, I've seen too many companies around kind of like raising just to raise, to be able to have good kind of like headlines. You know, I'm based in Florida, in Fort Lauderdale right now. I have like the Magic Leap headquarters just a few blocks away from here. in machine learning, it looks like there are some, you know, magic leaps of machine learning, which sometimes tend to raise on, you know, demos and hype and things like that. And I think that's okay for the field, but we don't want to be one of these companies. We'd rather kind of like be intentional, raise less, but really prove with like usage and revenue that we can build a massive company here.
Well, we've obviously picked you for a reason for this list, and you clearly have a lot of momentum. So good luck in the coming year and years ahead. And thanks for giving us a little bit of insight into how you operate.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to the Information's 411. And thanks to Kevin McLaughlin and Clement DeLange for joining me. This episode was produced by Spoke Media. From Spoke, producer Cody Hoffmachel, coordinating producer Alicia Force, mixing and mastering engineer Will Short, associate producer Lucy Wong, and executive producer Keith Reynolds, with help from Kelly Kolf. I'm Amir Efrati. Have a great weekend, everyone.